And you know what Jesus said about Satan, that his native tongue is lying. And we were just singing, right? I assume we all were singing that sin's curse has lost its grip on me. And we also sang that no power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck me from his hand. If you believe anything other than that, if you believe that you're caught in something, you can't break the cycle. If you believe that you're that something could take you away from Jesus, then you're believing the lies of the enemy, because he cannot. You can stand in the power of Christ. You can. Well, we have a lot to talk about this morning, so let's get to it. Last week, we asked the question, is perception reality? And our conclusion, which seems obvious, except it's so often ignored, is that perception is only reality if you're perceiving truth, right? And that really does make sense. So the question today is this, is seeing believing? Similar, but not exactly the same. Is seeing believing? Once again, we're going to look at Luke 10. And then move on from there as we use this same passage to set up the Palm Sunday story. So we're going to use it to set up the events surrounding the resurrection, because it does that so well. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Luke 10 and verse 21, and then we will move on from there. Almighty God, as we open your word, as we ask every week, and the same today, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. May we hear today the truth in these words, the life in these words, that we might be changed to become the people you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 10:21. In the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So as we move on to the resurrection events, I'd ask you to keep considering that question, is seeing believing? But also remembering these things that Jesus said, no one knows except the ones to whom the Son chooses to reveal. And also, blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. So it is Easter. It is Resurrection Day. So since we last met, which would have been Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus rode into town and people were praising and singing Hosanna and calling him King, and Jesus was weeping. A lot of things have happened in the subsequent days. After a meal with his apostles and Judas' betrayal, Jesus indeed was arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified. And we need to remember these things about the death of Jesus. Evil men were complicit in his death, Jews and Romans alike. But though men were complicit in their sin, as Isaiah prophesied, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. And when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. That's us. And Isaiah also said this about us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, meaning Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So Jesus hung on the cross, and with a victory cry, it is finished, he committed his own spirit. Jesus died under his own volition. He committed his spirit into the Father's hands. His body was taken from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man who owned a tomb that had not been used, some other men and some women as well, took Jesus' body down and laid him in the tomb. The eve of the Sabbath was falling. Sabbath began at sundown on that Friday. So all who were attending his body left because they could not touch a dead body lest they be in violation of the law. And so that no hoax might be perpetrated, even though we'll hear later that Jesus' followers didn't seem to remember that he said he was going to rise again on the third day, Pilate's officials remembered that, and so that there would not be any hoax and they were afraid that someone would come and steal the body, Pilate had the tomb sealed with a large rock and had guards placed in front of it. So what I'm about to read to you, I'm not going to ask you to follow along because I've done a harmony of the four Gospels and the story surrounding the resurrection. This is from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and fell as dead. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. See the place where they laid him. Go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, where you will see him." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet he did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. The disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw the two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. I'm going to pause there for a moment. If you remember the description of the mercy seat in the temple, the place where God met man, it wasn't really a seat, but it was a flat bench with two cherubim placed at either end. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him in Aramaic and said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So is seeing believing? Sometimes. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, but at first did not recognize him. But after hearing what I can't imagine was so special about the way he said her name, but something was there that it could only have been Jesus. It was just her name. She had heard her name how many times in her life? And yet, hearing that one thing, spoken in truth by the Christ, she knew. And she believed. So if you'll turn with me to Luke 24 and verse 13. A rather well-known story of two of the followers off to a village named Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, so this is the day, this is the resurrection day. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. I want you to picture that. Everyone in town knew what had happened. These two disciples are walking along. This stranger walks up, and they stood still. They literally were stopped in their tracks. One of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." What's just happened here? Well, a lot. Right? There's a lot that takes place there. We could do this all by itself, and we will some other time, but a lot's taking place. But for our purposes, they saw Jesus, right? Back to our question, is seeing believing? They saw, but they didn't recognize. They even mentioned the third day. And Jesus had said a number of times, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of evil men, crucified, and on the third day he will rise." Verse 25 and 26. "He said to them, 'O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all these things and enter into his glory?'" Okay, another quick side question. Have you heard it in this room before that the whole Old Testament points to Jesus? Remember hearing that? Jesus did not have the four Gospels. They had not yet been written. He did not have the epistles written by Paul, because Paul hadn't found Jesus yet. So what does he do? "Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So they drew near the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. when they could see him no longer, they believed. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned. They ran out of that place, right? They got up and went that same hour to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of the bread. So they saw and didn't believe. Then they had that moment and he was gone and they believed. Those to whom he chose to reveal. So is seeing believing? Sometimes it's not. I'm going to turn to John 20. Verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, right? Makes sense. They had just killed their leader. Could be they might be coming after them now. Jesus came, doors locked, right? Got that part? Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So here we have 10 of the 12. Thomas is just away. And notably absent is Judas. Judas, who spent 3 years seeing Jesus almost daily. Seeing, but not really believing. And now Judas lay dead in a potter's field. And Thomas is just not with the rest. In John 17, it records what they call the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he died. And he prayed for his followers, those who were there with him. But church, he also prayed for you and I. He said this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. If you've come to believe in Jesus through the Gospels, those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus knew then that beyond the few hundred who believed at that moment would be all the rest of humanity who would have to believe without seeing. But you know, all of humanity before Jesus walked the earth, all of those who were saved before, people sometimes ask, how were the Old Testament people saved? The Old Testament people were saved the same way you and I are saved. Saved through Christ on the cross. But for them it was an action that took place after they lived. But it was their faith in God and the faith in the promise that he made to Abraham. They didn't know the details. They didn't know the name Jesus. But they knew there was an anointed one to come. At the very beginning, right? God said to Abraham, through you, all nations of the world will be blessed. And those who believed that promise were saved the same way through the blood of Christ. All the rest. Believing by faith, by hearing, but not by seeing. And he prayed for them, and he prayed for us. So picking up in verse 24, now Thomas, who was not there that night, but when he comes back, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, and I don't think we should pick on Thomas because I don't think any of us would have fared much better. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Thomas was firmly in the not seeing, not believing camp. And for what must have been 8 tortuous days for Thomas, he lived securely and sadly in his doubt. But then 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And with countless others, church, that includes us. We haven't seen Jesus like they saw Jesus. But if you've come to believe, Jesus prayed for you the night before he died, and he blessed you. He didn't say, "Those will be blessed someday." He said, "Blessed are those." He pronounced a blessing on us, though we were not yet born. So what does this mean? Is seeing believing? Not necessarily, but it can help sometime, and sometimes it's absolutely useless. It's not required for faith. Here in the middle of 2017, what does this story mean anymore? It's Easter. We talk about a risen Christ. We talk about a Christ that was just crucified. What does it mean? Well, it means absolutely everything. As we've said so many times, right here in this place, all of humanity, from the beginning until the end of time, are in 2 groups, the secular and the sacred. They can be seen in all different ways as we look through Scripture, right? They can be seen as those in the flood and those on the ark. They can be seen as those covered by the Red Sea or those who passed through on dry land. Jesus in Matthew 25 would say they are the goats or they are the sheep. In the Good Friday story, and Bob Bunch and I had a conversation about this the other day, in the Good Friday story, they are represented by the 2 thieves. The one who mocked Jesus and the other who saw who Jesus was and said, "Lord, remember me." And when that thief took his last breath here, he took his next breath in paradise with Jesus. This story means everything. Everything. You see, in this day with technology, we can Google and find out anything, right? We can even do Google Earth and we can see everything, we think. We may not have access to it, but we can read about people who have these super telescopes and these atomic microscopes and all this other stuff. And I think that the population is convinced more than ever that seeing is believing, but we would be wrong. And I'm not talking about blind faith either, because those of you who have known me any time at all know that I cringe at that phrase. That phrase is not in Scripture. What it does say, and what I think draws us into that thinking, is that Paul wrote 2 Corinthians that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so some people think, well, if not by sight, it must be blind. No, no. Faith gives us something. We can attain something that's better than our vision. It's better than human sight. Sight is often wrong. Right? What we see. Like for most of human history, air was just air. I mean, you felt a little something, but it was just air. And then they developed this technology, and it's oxygen and nitrogen and argon and carbon dioxide. It's all this other stuff that we can't see. And then one day somebody held up a piece of glass, and light, which had just been light, kind of white, maybe kind of yellow, suddenly was revealed in all these colors that are around us all the time that our eyes just can't see them. Telescopes allow us to see things that were never available, likewise microscopes. What we call perfect vision 2020 is actually just average. But the faith that's given by God, is better than our vision. When we walk by faith, we see things. We're instructed. When our eyes see images, right? But when we see by faith, the Holy Spirit instructs us about the reality of the world around us. our soul, once saved by God, is informed by the heavenly things, about the heavenly things, beyond what our physical ability to see can see. Paul wrote about our limited vision. He said we see now as through a glass darkly. And some versions it says a mirror, but it's not a mirror like you have in your bathroom that has a pretty good reflection of who you are. But a mirror back then would have been more like the mirror down at the state park. You know, it's kind of a polished piece of metal. You can kind of see, but you can't really see well. But Paul also said there's a time coming when we will see, as in face to face. And then we'll see why this matters, why this story matters. Scriptures tell us that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But before that day comes, there's a decision that every person has to make. Joshua said to the nation of Israel, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And he gave them a choice between the false gods of Egypt, the Heperit and Kepri and Hapi and the seven others that were the gods of Egypt. He gave them the choice between those false gods and the one true living God. And today we're offered the choice between the false gods of other religions or the false gods of money and career and position and possessions and on, things which the moth will eat and the thieves will steal and the rust will destroy. We have the choice between those things and the one true God. We have a choice between those things and the God who created us in his image. The God who created us for fellowship with him. But our fathers chose something else, right? Adam and Eve, they chose something else over God. They chose sin and they created a chasm that we can't cross. But what we celebrate today is the fact that God sent Jesus to rescue us. The only way across that chasm, so that we can stand before God sinless. So, before that day comes, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, we must choose. Every single person must choose. Every single person must choose. Every knee will bow, but some will bow forced down in despair and in horror at the wrath that's about to come. And those who put their trust in Jesus, we will bow in reverent adoration and in complete and utter joy. How do you want to bow in front of Jesus? Choose. Choose. Easter is about the resurrection of the God who came to rescue you. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.